Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, again, for the great and mighty, awesome God that you are. We know, Lord, that there is nothing that is too hard for you. So as we bring these requests before you today, we are confident. We are trusting in you to answer these requests according to your will. We think of Lisa. We ask, God, that you would continue to be with her there in the hospital, that you would ease any pain that she may have, and, Lord, that she would have a speedy recovery. And we also pray, Lord, for her diagnosis, that she'll have a favorable diagnosis. God, we also want to pray for Steve as he's rehabbing from having COVID and being in the hospital. We ask, God, that you just continue to strengthen his body. And, Lord, that you would use these times to draw them closer to yourself. And, Lord, give Crystal and her entire family much grace and much strength through this time. And, Father, may you make your presence known to them, Lord. Help them to lean upon you, to look to you, and to trust in you. And Father, we pray also for our church. We ask, God, that you would continue as we pray to bring new families our way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the new folks that we've had that have been here. And we just pray that you continue to bring us 10 new families, Lord. We've been praying about this for a long time. And we just look forward and with great anticipation of what you're going to do. And so, Father, we trust you for that as well. So, God, I pray now that as we go into your word this morning, I pray that you would use it in all of our lives in a great and mighty way. God, help each of us to receive it well. Help us to be doers of your word this morning and not hearers only. Help us to go out looking more like your Son and bringing you greater glory than what we did when we came in today. So, God, I pray now that your word would go forth with power. We know that it will accomplish everything that it's set out to accomplish in all of our lives. And God, it never, ever returns void. So we trust you for that this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you to turn your Bibles today to 2 Peter. If you do not have a Bible, or if you forgot your Bible, there is a Bible. There should be one in front of you or behind you in the rack. And so feel free to use one of those if you'd like to this morning. If you don't have a Bible of your own, feel free to take that. That's our gift to you. You can have that, take that, use that, and hope that'll be a blessing to you. So just want to make you aware of that. But 2 Peter chapter 3, many of you know because you've been here, and if you've not been here, that's okay because you can jump right in on this series with us. But we've been going through the book of 2 Peter, and I entitled this series, Know Christ, Grow in Grace. And so we've been in this book for the last several weeks, and we're going to wrap things up today. And really, as we look at this book this morning, specifically our text this morning, it is awesome to see the final words that Peter writes to the believers and to and for us today, that he is going to, I think, remind us of some things that we've learned along the way, but also to encourage our hearts as we prepare, as we've been talking about, especially as we looked at last week, as we watch and we wait for the Lord's return. And so let's look at 2 Peter 3, starting in verse number 14 to the end of the chapter. You follow along as I read. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do with the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But notice what he says and how he ends this letter in verse number 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So as we come to the close of this book, what is Peter doing? Well, Peter is doing something that he's done throughout this entire series and throughout this entire letter. He is stirring us up in way of reminder. Now, you might be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, well, Why do we need to be reminded so much by Peter? Why does he keep reminding of us of these things? Well, when it comes to preaching and teaching the Word of God, much of it is for the purpose of reminding us of things. As I thought about this, you know, as we think about this, how often do we forget, right? I mean, we know the older that we're getting, the more we forget. At least I do. I don't know about you. Maybe not. But I forget more things all the time. And I think it's true even with the Word of God that we forget things very easily, or we are also easily distracted by the things of this world. Is that not true? I think so. And so Peter recognizes this, and as he writes to these believers, he's reminding them, listen, I want you to not forget these things that I'm telling you. He tells them chapter 1, 13 through 14, and in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And so he's saying, listen, I want to remind you of these things. I want to exhort those of you that are in Christ that have obtained this precious faith. So let me kind of remind you this morning of the things that we've been looking at in the book of 2 Peter. The first thing that we looked at is the fact that we are to be diligent and abounding in spiritual growth. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the message today. But we ought to be abounding in our spiritual growth and walking with the Lord. The second thing that we saw, chapter 1, 16 through 21, is that we are to pay attention to the Word of God and make sure that we are paying attention to the Word that has been, as Peter says, more fully confirmed for us. So, in other words, when we hear the Word of God or when we read the Word of God, we don't want to take it flippantly, right? We don't want just to ignore what we're reading, but we want to sit up, so to speak, and we want to take close attention, pay attention to what it says. And then some of you will remember this in chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. We talked about, and Peter said, beware of false teachers, right? They are, in fact, he even told us that they even come from among you. Sometimes there are those even within the church that are false teachers that are looking to lead many astray. And he says, so pay attention, be aware of that. And then thirdly, we are not to be discouraged. And we looked at this a couple weeks ago, but discouraged by those who mock the return of the Lord. Because there will be those, because you believe it if you're a child of God, that you believe the Lord is going to return one day, and those that may know you and know you believe that might take that as an opportunity to mock you for that. What are you talking about? Nothing's ever happened. I mean, we went into great length on this a couple weeks ago. And so he says, listen, don't be discouraged by that. You're going to be mocked sometimes. You might be made fun of. You might be pointed out and saying, well, that guy or that gal is crazy to think that God is ever going to return again one day. And then number four, we are to live holy lives as we view the coming day of the Lord. And we looked at that last week, and we're going to look at that some more this week as well. So as Peter draws this epistle to a close, I want you to notice something that maybe you might overlook if you're not careful. It is evident, and I love this about this book, it is evident that Peter is filled with love to those in whom he writes. If you notice, in chapter 3, verses 1 and 8, he calls them beloved. And then in the text we just read today in 14 and 17, he uses again this term of endearment. He calls them beloved. So, you know, when we read this book, we may think to ourselves, wow, Peter, man, he's come across hard. You know, he's bringing the truth like a hammer, which is fine. But know why. It's because he loves God's people. It's because he doesn't want to see God's people be led astray. It's because he wants them to know you got to continue on and you got to continue to grow in your faith and you have to know that one day the Lord is indeed going to return. So with this love in his heart, he writes these things to them too, because as we saw in chapter 1 and verse 14, Peter's about to die. Peter's about to be martyred. And in case you didn't know this, Peter was crucified upside down. And the reason for that is because he did not feel worthy to be crucified the same way the Lord Jesus Christ was. So he actually requested, I want to be crucified upside down. And so this is the man we're talking about. A guy who loved God's people, a guy who pens these final words with love in his heart, a man who's ready to face his death. And so we've got to give great significance to these words this morning, right? Obviously, because it is the Word of God, but these are the words that are coming from the lips of a dying man. So folks, they're significant, aren't they? And we know this, that when someone is about to pass away, the last things that they say are probably some of the greatest importance of things to them in their life. And that's our author, Peter. And this is what Peter does. This is what concerns Peter. This is what Peter wants for God's people. And so let's start out in verse number 14. He's telling them, first of all, be diligent about personal holiness, and also he says, be at peace. Now, he said to be diligent before in chapter 1, verse 5 and verse number 10. This word diligence, it means earnestness. It means to have zeal or sometimes with haste. And I would even say this, and I mentioned this to you last week. It means that you and I are to be proactive about growing spiritually. Pay attention, right? Be earnest. Be filled with zeal. And Peter says, diligence then. And the reason why he says to be diligent is because it pertains to the Lord's coming. Let me ask you this question. How will the Lord find you when he comes? Will he find you faithful? Will he find you about the business of doing his work? Peter says, listen, be diligent. Be diligent in the fact that the Lord is going to return one day. But then he also says, not only be diligent about your spiritual growth and your walk with God, but he also mentions, be at peace. Be at peace. And peace, we know, can refer to a couple of different ways of having peace. Number one, be at peace with the Lord. You see, Paul wrote in Romans 5:1, he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are in Christ, folks, already, if we know Jesus and we're following after him, the Bible says we already have peace with God, right? So he says, be at peace with God, but also be at peace with your fellow man, with others. I want you to look at chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, where he says this, because I want to park on this for just a moment. He says in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. So if you look at verse number 11, we talked about this last week. What sort of people are we to be? We're to be a people of holiness and godliness. And now Peter says, part of being holy and part of being godly is making sure that we are not only focusing on our peace with God, but focusing on that peace with God will also help us to have peace with one another. Can I just say this to you this morning? There is a real need among believers today to be peacemakers. Folks, turn on your television, right? I'm not saying that Christians don't take a stand for the truth and what's right, but do you know that as you live your life, as you wait for the Lord, as you're striving for godliness and holiness, one of the marks of your life and my life as a child of God is that we ought to be people that are known as peacemakers. Stop being so hostile. In other words, treat people right. Everybody is made in the image of God. And being a child of God, yes, you are saved. Yes, you know you're on your way to heaven. But you also are hopefully humbled by that, and because of that, and because of the peace that you share with God, that peace then is spread out among those in whom you come in contact with. Because you know the greatest peace there is to know, the peace of God. And I would say, my friends, that we as Christians need to be kind and we need to be at peace with all people because of that very reason. Listen to Proverbs 16:7. Let this blow your mind for just a minute. When a man's ways, listen, or a woman's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Did you hear that? It's incredible. So Peter says, not only to be at peace, but he says to be found without spot and to be blameless. And you say, well, how can I do that? How can I be blameless before the Lord? How can I be found without spot? The only way is through the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, right? The only way is the fact that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you can be found without spot or blemish. Because when you got saved, what are you now clothed in? You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Absolutely, you still have a sinful nature. Absolutely, you still battle sin day in and day out. But you are declared righteous in Christ. And so Peter says, remember this. He is the one who's redeemed us from our sin through his precious blood, without a lamb without blemish or without spot. 1 Peter, here it is again. 1:18 and 19 says this, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, that's you and I, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver and gold, but listen to what he says, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. You see, folks, we are to walk in the light, the Bible says, as Christians. You and I are to enjoy the fellowship that we have from God, and we're to enjoy that fellowship then with one another. And the only way we do that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ that cleansed us from sin by the blood of Jesus himself. That is the only way. And that is how we are found without spot or blemish. It is nothing that you and I have done. It is nothing that you and I deserve, but it's everything because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. 1 John 1:7, John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not only that, not only are we to be diligent in these matters, but we also need to understand that our diligence, and I want you to think about this morning, will be determined by where we set our sights. Let me say that again. Because Peter's saying, hey, I want you to be diligent, right? I want you to be earnest. I want you to be growing. I want you to be aware of false teachers. I want you to understand the patience of God. I want you to know that you don't need to be discouraged by those who mock you. And he says, now, this diligence is going to be determined by where you set your sights. In other words, what are you focused on? He says, since you are waiting, look at verse number 14 with me again. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, you say, what in the world does he mean by these? Put your eyes on verse number 13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. So Peter says, now that you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. So since you are waiting for these things, he says, be diligent. It's only as you and I then look forward, we can hope to be prepared and will be prepared for what is to come. You see, 1 Peter 1:13, Peter says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, listen to what he says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we look for this grace that is to come, what is part of this grace to come? The new heavens and the new earth, right? Where only righteousness dwells. He says, as we look forward, that's where we set our sights, right? Especially in relationship to the new heavens and the new earth, we will find the right motivation then to be diligent in what Peter is telling us to be diligent in. We're looking forward. Because, see, if we're not looking forward, we're not going to be diligent, and we're not going to be found ready when the Lord's when the Lord comes. Remember I said we can be distracted by the world very easily? Sometimes Satan distracts us from the things of God, obviously. There's a battle that goes on in your heart, in my heart, every day. And if you and I allow the lure, if I could say it this way, the lure of this world to distract your aim, because of this delay of the Lord's coming, because you, I mean, even since we talked about this last week, you might still be thinking to yourself, oh, man, you know, Lord said he's going to come. When's he going to come? When's it ever going to happen? I don't know, nor do you. This is why, friends, this is why Peter says we need to be waiting and we need to be watching and we need to be diligent. And so our next point speaks to us in this manner, because he tells us in verse number 15, as we talked a little bit about last week, be mindful of the Lord's patience. I don't know if you're a very patient person or not. I try to be. I think I can be, but there are times when I'm not. But Peter says, when it comes to the Lord's coming, be patient. Delay of the Lord's coming, folks, this is what we need to remember, does not mean, and this is what Peter tells us, it does not mean that God is slow concerning this promise. If God says that he's going to return one day, he's going to return one day. Amen? Right? And just because we don't see it, and listen, I got to tell you this, you might not even see it in your life. I don't know when it is. Remember, God is not bound by time. God's time frame, we saw that in verse number 8 of chapter 3, and we talked about this already. God's time framing is not ours. Rather, what is the Lord to do? What is he doing? In verse number 9, the Lord is willing to suffer long till all the elect are saved. See, God's patience, here's the way we need to view this, because if we don't view it this way, we're going to get all messed up. We're not going to be diligent. We're going to just have a struggle of a time. But God's patience should be seen as motivation for you and I to repent and making sure that we are staying current with God. See, first of all, for the unbeliever, every day that the Lord delays, it is a call for them to repent and believe and to follow Jesus Christ. If you're here today, my friend, and you've never received Christ as your Savior, that delay is for you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Trust in the Lord. It is only through him that you can be saved. It is only by his grace and his mercy that you and I can be saved. You can't work for it. There's nothing you can do about it but to receive the gift of his salvation and follow him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? But not only is it a day for unbelievers to repent, it's a day for believers to obey Christ. It's a day, every day that's a delay in God's plan of his return. Every day is a day for you and I to obey Christ and to live for him. It's a day for, and maybe this might be you here this morning, it's a day for wayward Christians to return to the Lord. Maybe you've been struggling in your relationship with Christ. Maybe you're not where you need to be spiritually. You know that. Today, the delay is also for you to turn back to the Lord and get right with God, to repent, to confess your sins. It's not too late. I get sometimes discouraged when maybe it's more heartbreaking when you know someone that is a believer and they've been away from the Lord and they're just unwilling to repent and do what's right. Sometimes it's because they think, well, I've gone too far. There's no way God's ever going to forgive me. Yes, he will. You say, well, you don't know, Pastor. I've committed some really big sins in my life. God will still forgive. 1 John 1:9, I've quoted a billion times from this pulpit. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not too late. God's grace is greater than any sin that you and I have ever committed. And I say, if you are running from God, or if you know you're in a place where you're not supposed to be in your relationship with God, then I say, repent and turn back to the Lord. Come back. Another day to do that. I love what Paul writes, because he writes about God's law and suffering, its relationship to our repentance and the motivation to salvation. He says in Romans 2:4, or do you presume on the riches, listen to what he says, of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing, listen, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. The kindness of God, the goodness of God, the patience of God, the forbearance of God is intended to lead us then to repentance. Let's not disregard that today. Let's not just blow by that this morning and say, well, okay, that's great, that's wonderful, blah, 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 whatever, let's move on. No, sit up and do what Peter says. Pay attention to the inspired word of God, what it says. So as we continue to wait for the Lord's return, what should you and I be doing? Working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as we do so, here's Peter, another warning and another encouragement to us today. His final words, verse number 16. Look at what he says. As he does in all his letters, he's talking about Paul. When he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant, notice what he says, the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction. And notice he even tacks this on at the end, as they do with other scriptures. So when it comes to waiting, Peter says, listen, as we're waiting, and this goes for every child of God, as well as those that may not be followers of Christ, obviously, be careful not to twist the scriptures. And I'll just add this on, know your Bible well. Folks, I think you're aware of this already. There's a lot of kooks out there on the internet. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of goofy people and a lot of goofy so-called pastors that are twisting the scriptures and don't know their Bibles very well. I want to encourage you this morning, be careful. That's why I think Peter is so vigilant, if I could say it that way, for us to be sure we're aware of false teachers and for us now to make sure that we're not twisting the scriptures and we don't fall into that mindset as well, and that we don't take everything that we hear and read hook, line, and sinker and say, well, that's the truth, that's it, without comparing it to scripture. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Word of God. God's Word is life-giving. It is the means, listen, it is the means by which we are saved. Romans 10:13, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? It is a work through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, that saves your soul and my soul. And then we know from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, God's Word is not just some man-made word. It is God's Word. It is inspired, and it is, meaning it is God-breathed. It comes from God. All Scripture, listen, is breathed out by God and profitable. Listen, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. You can count on it. You can rest in it. This is God's Word, and don't let anyone tell you different. It is God's Word. Don't let anybody twist it. Check it out. Know your Bible well. Because of this fact, it is living and it is powerful. It's sharper. The Bible says it is sharper of itself than any two-edged sword. Listen to Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God, here it is, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and of the spirit and the joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word will accomplish what it sets out to accomplish in your heart and in my life. We ought to be rejoicing over that. And the beauty is, it never returns void. Pierce says, don't, I almost want to say it this way, from maybe I'm taking liberties here, but don't you dare twist the word of God. Don't you dare do that. You make sure you know your Bible well. And as I said to you last week, there is no excuse for a Christian not to know their Bible. There's a lot of kooky guys on the internet, but there's a lot of good guys on the internet. Good people that teach the Word of God that are solid. Stay in the Word. There's a lot of good books. There's a lot of good commentaries. But don't forsake the Word of God for all those things. Use them to help you. Know your Bible well. Because why? Well, Peter tells us. Because the Word of God can be abused. And if it's not handled correctly, it can do a lot of harm. See, did you notice in verse 16, he says, twisting the scriptures can lead one to their own destruction. And he says, those most susceptible, if you want to know who's really susceptible to twisting the scriptures and led to their own destruction, first of all, it's the untaught. He's saying to us, these are people who are armed with a little knowledge, and they're believing they're ready to do battle. And in fact, if I could just say it this way, they have enough knowledge to be dangerous. Just a side note, anytime you and I study the Bible, we have to consider the context, right? We have to consider both the immediate and remote context of a passage, and if we don't, it's very easy to misapply, isn't it? And that's what happens with a lot of these folks. When they twist the scriptures, they take things out of context. I don't have the time today, but now I'm thinking I should have probably gave you a couple examples of that, but they can take things out of context. Twist them to their own liking or to lead others astray. And that's what Peter's saying about these false teachers. That's exactly what they've done, and that's what they do today. So see, you and I have to wake up, don't we? We have to sit up and we have to pay attention. So he says it's the untaught, and then he says it's the unstable. This would be, I think it's fair to say, the babe in Christ, or those who are maybe spiritually immature. Now, it's not their fault necessarily, maybe all the time, because they just haven't grown yet. But sometimes those who are babes in Christ and their enthusiasm and just with all the joy that they have of being saved, they seek to run with the scriptures before they even learn to walk first, and then end up stumbling as a result. So with these warnings, I think we need to appreciate, we need to listen to even what James says. In James 1:21, James says, receive with meekness the implanted word. That's the way we ought to receive the word of God. With humility and meekness, knowing where this comes from, knowing the power, knowing that it's living, knowing that it's active for your life and for my life. Receive it with meekness. Receive it carefully. Be respectful. Know what you're dealing with. And so Peter concludes this epistle with two last exhortations and summarizes the entire content, I think, of this epistle. He says in verses 17 and 18, let's read it again because it's been a while. Look at it if you would. You therefore, beloved, there it is, that term of endearment, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people. And notice what he says, and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So what does he say? Number one, he says, don't be led astray from the truth of God's word. We've been talking about this, but that's why I said he's kind of wrapping it up in these last two verses, and he's kind of summarizing this. And he's saying, listen, I want to warn you again. Remember what we talked about in chapter 2 and part of chapter 3? He says, I want to warn you again, and his concern is what? A real danger of apostasy. You say, what does apostasy mean? It means very simply a falling away. Or you could say a falling away from the faith. See, he's already described those that have fallen away. In chapter 2, verse number 1, he talks about those who were guilty of denying the Lord who bought them. In chapter 2 and verse 15, you have forsaken the right way, and he says you've gone astray. In chapter 2 and verse 20, who having escaped the defilements of the world are again entangled in them and overcome. And then, not only that, he just described what we looked at, those who are untaught and those who are unstable, those who are twisting the scriptures for their own destruction. Folks, the danger of apostasy is very real. So we must be careful. We must be diligent so you and I don't fall away or stray from the truth of God's word. I just heard about someone this past, wasn't this last week, the week before, that I have followed, you know, on the internet, social media, a gentleman who has his doctorate, can't remember what's in, some, you know, obviously it's something ministry related. And now he has proclaimed he is deconverted. Have you ever heard of deconversion? It's sad to me, but it happens. And you say, well, Pastor, maybe he was really, I mean, he could have all the credentials in the world and still not be saved. I realize that, and that, or maybe he's just straying from the Lord, right? That's why Peter says over and over again, be aware, be alert. And then he says this, and this is one of the best offensive weapons against being led astray. He says in verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do you prevent that? Grow. Grow in a relationship with the Lord. Peter described that. He says that blessings come by the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do me a favor. Flip back to chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning for a minute. I'm not going to spend a ton of time in this, but go back to the beginning. And I want to read you something that we studied a long time ago, but I want to, here we go again. Sound like Peter. I want to remind you of this, all right? But I want to remind you of what Peter said, because he describes, first of all, in verses 1 through 4, the blessings that come by knowing and growing, right, in Christ. Let's start in verse number 1, okay? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power. And I love this. We hit on this just a little bit last week too. But his divine power is granted to us all things. Check it out. All things that pertain to life and godliness. That means we have everything we need in Christ for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So Peter says, he lays it out. He says, look, this is what you and I gain by knowing Jesus and growing in Jesus. This is what comes to us as blessings. And then he goes on and he says, okay, I'm not going to leave you right there. I want you to know these things. I want you to know the blessings and the joy of knowing Christ. But he says, now I want to tell you how you continue to grow in that knowledge. Look at verses 5 through 11. For this very reason, make every effort. Well, I love that. I would underline that in your Bible. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, see that? It's increasing. It's not just staying the same. It's not stale. It doesn't become old, but they're increasing. They keep you, look what he says, from being unfruitful or ineffective in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if these things aren't increasing, what happens to us? We become unfruitful. We become ineffective. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent. There's that word. Man, if you don't learn anything today, I hope those words stick out in your mind. Be diligent, right? To confirm your calling and election, for if you practice, in other words, you're doing these qualities, you'll never fall, for in this way there will be richly, I love that, richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we grow. And I asked you this question last week. If someone was to describe you, could they describe you in this way? Sally, Joe, yeah, man, they got the knowledge of the Lord. They're self-controlled. They're steadfastness. They're godliness. There's brotherly affection. Does that describe you? See, there's a need, isn't there, for these frequent reminders of obedience. And as I said, in this verse, we see this key to avoiding apostasy. And again, it is that increasing, it is that growing in our relationship with Jesus. Grow in the grace of Jesus Christ by appreciating and appropriating all of God's unmerited favor toward you. That's grace. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus as defined by Peter in chapter 1, as we just read, developing now, look at them. You want to know how to grow? You can start here. You can also look in Galatians 5 at the fruit of the Spirit, but you can start right here, developing these Christ-like qualities in your life. So see, you when you walk out today, you don't have excuse for not knowing how to grow. Really? Because this is the way we grow. See, I want you to think about this for a minute, and we're getting ready to wind this down. I mentioned this to you a little bit last week, but growing in grace is more than reading your Bible. Growing in grace is more than praying. Growing in grace is more than attending church faithfully. Are all those three part of growing? Absolutely. But check this out. Growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus goes beyond that. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ladies, respect your husbands. Kids, obey your parents. Here's one for you. Treating the people who wait on you in the restaurant with kindness and not rudeness. That's growing. See, it's taking your faith outside these walls and actually practicing and doing what God's called you to do. That's part of growing. I remember when I was in college, the director of our ministerial program had to get up one day and rebuke some guys. Well, I can honestly say I did not do this, but there were some guys that were training for the ministry that were going out to eat, and they were leaving gospel tracts at the table with no tip. It's embarrassing. So we're all kind of on this restaurant thing. It came to my mind because I think that too is growing in grace. How about this one? Not being a jerk on social media. Growing in grace, folks. If you're tempted to be a jerk, maybe you need to get rid of it. Not having road rage. That hits close, too close to home. Those of you that know, you know that about me. That's a tough one. I just told Michelle, this is funny. I mean, this is always the Lord. I can't remember what we were doing, going through a parking lot or something? Yeah. Yesterday we were going through a parking lot, and this person just putting along, you know? And I'm starting to get like, what in the world, man? I told Michelle, I'm using that as an example tomorrow, and the Lord's rebuking me right now. Not having road rage. Loving your neighbor. Being kind when you are mistreated. Are you ever mistreated? See, growing in grace is being kind. You know, the Bible even says we're to love our enemies and we're to pray for our enemies. I think we kind of forget that part. How about this? I hope this isn't true of you, but not cussing out your kids when they're misbehaving. Helping your coworker on a project, even though they may not deserve that help, you know? See, folks, growing in grace is applying grace in everyday life. You say, well, I can check the boxes, man. I read my Bible, I pray, I come to church, I'm here right now, aren't I? Yeah, but what about loving your wife, guys? What about being a jerk on social media? Looking for a fight at every chance you get. In other words, see, if we're going to be growing in grace, we're fleshing out what the Bible says about how we are to act and how we are to react in everyday life situations as a Christian, right? Now, we all can do well here at church. We can be good at church. That's not hard. But what about when we go out? Peter closes his second epistle with a heartfelt expression of praise. In verse number 18, you probably already saw it. He says, to him be the glory both now and forever. And is that not the ultimate goal, folks? It was not long after that Peter penned these words, and I mentioned this to you already, that he was martyred. So what do we do then as we wait for the Lord's return? A lot of people ask that. A lot of Christians, man, you're getting all out of whack and all out of sorts, and you're getting all fired up, and I understand it. You know, about all the things that are going on in the world. I understand that, but at the same time, yes, we're to watch and we're to wait, but we're also to continue on and be faithful and grow in grace, right? We still have to live life as a child of God. So what do we do, Peter says? Be diligent about personal holiness and be at peace. Be mindful of God's patience. Be careful. Don't twist Scripture. Know your Bible well and be on guard. And I've been beating this dead horse for a while now. Grow in grace. Are you using the patience of the Lord to apply all diligence in growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ today? Maybe I should follow it up with this question. Have you even begun? Folks, God help us to continue on, right? To continue to run the race that's before us. To continue to do what we need to do to be faithful to the Lord, to stay on track, to not get distracted. Keep our eyes focused on Him. May the Lord help us to do that. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day again. Thank you so much for your word this morning. And I pray now, Lord, that we would apply that which we've learned today to our life. God, I pray that you would continue to grow us in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, my prayer also would be for anyone that's here today that knows not you as their Lord and Savior, that today they would come to know you, that your delay in return is another day for them to repent and turn to you. For those of us who are Christians, Lord, I pray that you would help us to remain faithful. For those Christians that might be here today that have wandered away from you, that they would recognize they need to get right with you and repent and confess and restore the relationship, to know the joy of the Lord. So, Father, I pray now that you would just continue to remind us of the things that we've learned. In Christ's name, amen.